And we're going to just go into 2 John. We've just finished up 1 John. And this morning we talked about old habits are hard to break. And I didn't mention that this morning, but I'm going to give you one. Somebody may be listening. One old habit that's hard to break is not coming back on Sunday night. That's an old habit. It's hard to break. You hear me? You go Sunday morning, I just can't make it back on Sunday night. That's an old habit that's hard to break. To get back to where the house of God is on Sunday night, Wednesday night, where the word is tonight. You don't know you're hungry until you miss it. You don't know you're hungry. This morning in Sunday school, our lesson was with the kids this morning. And it was that thing. Faith without works is dead. James said, you tell me, I'm going to show you my faith by my works and what I do. We know that the book of James is not the root of salvation, but it is the fruit. And then this morning it took us over to Ephesians. But tonight, for you that come back, I want to share with you, examine your walk. Examine your walk. This morning, old habits are hard to break. And we go right off into 2 John tonight. Examine your walk. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. 2 John, we're going to read verse 1 through 8 tonight. The Bible says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, and truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as we have heard from the beginning, we should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, and that's where I get it, examine your walk. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I do know tonight was unpromised. Father, I do know tonight that the air we breathe come from you. And Lord God, tonight I thank you for this group of believers that assembled back tonight to just break bread. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, that you'd bless them. I pray you'd bless the ones that didn't make it back tonight, for whatever reason that may be, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, you strengthen us in a mighty way. I pray tonight, Father, you'd reach down from heaven. And Father God, you just let the Holy Ghost encamp all around us this afternoon. Lord, I pray that we examine the walk that we have in you. And Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, you bless them real good. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Examine your walk. And as we come tonight here, we study here in the 2 John tonight that John writes either to a, and I broke it down like this so we would understand. John either writes either to a lady and her children or to the church, and whichever one you want to call it. He's writing either to the lady and her children, or he's writing, he says, lady, referring to the local body church. And he writes, John writes either to that lady or her children or to the church. And he said, I rejoice greatly that they were walking in the truth. He said, I rejoice that you're walking in the truth. But in verse number 8, he tells them here, look to yourselves. He said, look to yourselves or examine yourself. Why do we want to examine ourselves on a daily basis and on a basis that the Bible would tell us tonight? Because we're on a walk and in this life, and we must take inventory to examine. You'd take inventory, you would search, or you'd examine our own walk tonight. And you would examine that inside the local body church tonight. You would examine that among the believers tonight, amongst ourselves tonight. If somebody walked into this church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, one thing, there's some things that they ought to see us doing in here when they walk in. One is they ought to see us lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Amen? They ought to see us lifting up His name tonight and encouraging the believers tonight. And encouraging one another. And I found some areas in here in the text that I want to look at tonight, what we must examine as a local body tonight. In verse number 4 tonight, I see that we must, number 1, examine that we walk in the truth. That we walk in the truth. If we're going to examine a walk, there's got to be some areas that we examine. He says this in verse number 4, when he found the church or found the local body here, I believe. The Bible says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Number 1 tonight, we must examine that we walk in the truth as a body of believers tonight. We don't walk in no other way, but we walk in the truth. We must not walk in error. We must not walk in being deceived, but we must walk in the truth of the Word of God. Tonight I wrote this down, and I truly believe this tonight, and it'll stand. Truth will always be true. Truth will always be true. Whatever is true today will be true 100 years from now. Whatever is true will always be true. Don't be influenced by lies or deceived by something that's not the truth tonight. As a local body tonight, we must always examine and make sure whoever stands behind this sacred desk, whoever teaches a position in a Sunday school, whoever does whatever they do, that we're examining that walk, that it be according to the Word of God. In John 8:32 tonight, we know the Bible says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Tonight, if we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free tonight, that truth is the Bible tonight. It is Jesus Christ. That truth that we have tonight, and we stand on that truth. You know, a lot of people, they say, I want the truth. Tell me the truth. Give me the truth. They want the truth until they get the truth. And when we receive the truth, you know what? We have to do something with that truth tonight. The Bible says in John 14:6, the Bible, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if I get Jesus in my life as I have Him now, and as you have Him as a born believer tonight, I must understand the truth and I must walk in that truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by Jesus tonight. So tonight, as a local body tonight, John was pleased when he come. Number one, he examined that they was walking in the truth. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. You know, tonight, one commandment for the local body churches is that we walk in the truth, that we walk in what God has called us to do and stay truthful to that. But number two tonight, I also want to look in verse number 4. Not only should we examine that we walk in the truth in everything that we do, but we must examine that we walk with a clear conscience, that our conscience be clear to the local body tonight, to the body of believers that's in this place tonight and according to the Word of God tonight. One thing it is to walk in truth, but it's something else to have a clear conscience. And if you walk in the truth very long, you'll understand that having a clear conscience goes a long way in the world that we live in. Look what he says tonight. As we have received a commandment from the Father, as walking in the truth, but having that clear conscience. You say, what does it matter, preacher, that we have a clear conscience and that we walk in the truth? I want to give you this. When we have matters right with God and man, no one can point a finger at you or I in any way of our life. They may point a finger, but it won't be right. Have you? And I wrote this down. Have you ever had somebody point a finger at you and say, you've wronged me, you've done me wrong, you've cheated me, you've lied on me, you've done this. You know what? In a believer's life tonight, when we examine our walk tonight, we must care what other people think. We must care how we stand out in the community, how we stand out at our home, how we stand out at our workplace, but most of all, how we stand out in the house of God when they come in. And tonight, to examine that we walk with a clear conscience tonight, so no one can say you wronged me, no one can say you treated me bad, or that you took advantage of me. Is anybody that walks in this place tonight? We talked this morning about old habits are hard to break, and then we come back tonight to examine our walk. There should not be nobody ever say Union Chapel Baptist Church done me wrong and be able to prove that we done them wrong. Can I get an amen? We ought to stand on the Word of God, teach the Word of God, and teach it truthfully, and have a clear conscience when we teach that Word. You say, well, it's one thing, preacher, to have a clear conscience with God, but why do I have to have a clear conscience with man? Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 16. As we hold our place to examine our walk tonight, that we have a clear conscience. Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 16 tonight, I want to show you this. And I've been on that clear conscience since Wednesday night, as we study the Word of God and understand that our conscience is very important and how we keep it clear. And tonight, as we get here, we examine that we walk in the truth, but we also examine that we walk with a clear conscience tonight. Nobody can hold anything against you tonight. What you're doing is in the right state with man and God tonight. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts 24:16. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what Paul told to here in Acts, and here's what he says. He says, and herein do I exercise myself. You know what, tonight, if you're going to walk in the truth, and I'm going to walk in the truth, and I'm going to have a clear conscience, and you're going to have a clear conscience. We're going to have to exercise to have that, amen? We're going to have to work out. We're going to have to work out in the Word of God and stick with it. This morning in Sunday school, we was talking about being able to do what God's called us to do, and I asked Caden Whitaker, I asked him, he runs cross country, and he does all kind of things there running, and I asked him, I said, son, when you start running that race, do you just jump out there and run, or do you run at home? And he said, oh, I run at home. I exercise and run at home, and I try to get to where I need to be. And I said, when you do that, if you didn't do that, what would happen? He said, I'd start cramping up. My side would start hurting. It'd be things. So here's the thing. When we get to this place in our life, and we want to have the truth, and we want a clear conscience before God and man, we're going to have to exercise that. It just don't come. It just don't come. To have a clear conscience and people not be able to point a finger at you, it just don't come. We got to exercise at it. We got to stay at it. We got to work at it. Hey, to have that walk that would be pleasing to God, but also pleasing to man. Man, I don't know about you, but when I die, there are going to be naysayers. There are going to be people that don't like me. I know that because the Bible says that. But I want you to know, the local body church that I pastor, I want them to be able to say, that man right there, he stood on the Word of God and his life lined up with it. Amen? I want to examine my walk every day. I don't want to wait till it gets out of control. You know what happens when it gets out of control? It'll get growed over. There'll be areas in your life that you won't have a clear conscience. You won't be walking in the truth, and you'll have to clear it back. But I want you to get this in verse number 16. He says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always, not sometimes, but always. If there's a gray area, don't do it. If you say, preacher, I don't really, don't do it. I don't know if I should or if I should. If you don't know if you should or you shouldn't, don't do it. You stop and you wait on God to give you clear direction and clear what you need in your life. Don't you move without God letting you move. Don't you move without God giving you that approval. Because when you're examining yourself, you want to make sure that when you're walking, that you're walking in the truth and you're walking with a clear conscience. Well, if I do this, it might offend somebody, but who cares? A lot cares on it. Your testimony rides on it. What people think about you rides on it. Well, I don't care what people think. Yes, you do. The Bible tells us we must care what the people think. Look what he says. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God. I don't want God to have nothing against me. Amen? I don't want to have him to have nothing against. I want to have a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Everything I do, I want it to have a clear conscience toward God and men. I want to exercise that way. I want to live that way. I want to live the way that would be pleasing to God. I see, number one, we examine that we walk in the truth. We examine that we walk with a clear conscience. But look with me in verse number 5 of the text in 2 John. We must examine that we walk loving one another. Not only do we walk in the truth and we walk with a clear conscience, but we have to walk loving one another. And that's hard to do, loving one another at all times, but that's what the Bible says. In verse number 5 of the text, the Bible says, and I beseech thee, or I beg thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. In a local body church, what we must have is love one for another. When we get that, we go back, and old habits are hard to break. We get them old habits over. We get them done, and we come back, and we're examining ourselves. One thing we should do is have love one for another. I want to share this with you. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 8, we have love one for another. And that, I know that's hard to do, but we have love one for another. Even when everything ain't right, we still love one another. Amen? All right, 1 Peter 4, 8. Examine that we walk loving one another. I want to ask you a question. Do you love one another? Amen. That's a key to a church. That's a key to a church. I get the opportunity to go preach revivals. I get to go places, and I can walk in. I'm telling you, I'm no prophet. I'm no priest. I'm no king. I'm just old country boy from Detroit. But I know when I walk in a place, if there's love there and there's strife there. It don't take no rocket scientist to figure out. If you walk in and you sit down on the pew by yourself and nobody speaks to you, nobody greets you, nobody shows you love, nobody shows you nothing, you get up and you walk back out, it won't be long. I won't attend that church no more. Can I get a witness? You know what people, everybody in this world, I don't care who you are, you want to be loved and you want to be accepted. And as a church, we must examine this all the time. And as we in 2 John, we must examine that we're loving one another. We're teaching the truth now. We ain't wavering. We ain't loving somebody and wavering, not telling the truth. If you love them, you'll tell them the truth. If you love them, you'll tell them the truth. And if you love them, you'll tell them the truth. And you have a clear conscience when you tell them and you still love them. 1 Peter 4:8, the Bible says, I want you to show you this. 1 Peter 4:8, he said, and above all things, above everything that you can do in a local body church, in our life, in our walk with Jesus Christ, above everything that you can do, have fervent charity. Have a burning desire, a fervent charity, a love that passes everything. A fervent charity among yourselves, for love or charity shall cover the multitude of sin. That love covers a multitude of sin. And in a local body church, we must have that. That when we're wronged or we're not done right, we must examine our own walk and make sure that we're doing what God's called us to do. Turn with me, if you will, to John 13, 34 and 35, talking about the love for the local body church and love for one another and what God's called us to do. In John 13, I love this right here. And this is one way that you know that you are born again and how other people know that you're born again. Number one, we tell the truth. We have a clear conscience. And we love one another. Man, I'm telling you, we love one another as a local body church. You love one another. When one hurts, we all hurt. And that's the way it should be. One, we walk in the truth, we have a clear conscience, and we love one another. John, regular John, St. John 13, 34 and 35, the Bible says, as we examine our walk, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That you love one another. If there's one thing we should do in this place is love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this love that we have, by this shall all men know. What will they know? That ye are my disciples. If you have love one to another. I'll share with you the last point that I have tonight, and then we'll pray. Is that we also should examine that we're walking in peace. That we're walking in peace. I have people ask me all this time. They call me, say, "Preacher, how's your church going?" I said, "It's going good." "You still happy?" I said, "I'm still happy. Everything's going good." Been happy for 10 years. Amen, almost. Still happy. I hear of a lot of stuff go on at a lot of churches. There's one thing here that I love, and it's peace. Peace. If your home life ain't got peace in it, it's got turmoil. Right? If your marriage ain't got peace, it's got turmoil. And the local body church is a group of believers. It's just like our home. We live in a home. There's things that you don't like goes on here. There's things goes on here I don't like. There's things that goes on, but we have love one for another. We tell the truth. We walk in that love. We let God lead us. And why do we do that? So we can keep peace. If the local body church is not at peace, if we're not at peace in our walk here, the person that walks in is going to know that there's strife amongst us. And he says that we must examine that we're walking in peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Look with me, if you will, here in the text. I want to look here as we go on down. Look in verse number 5. He says, "And this love, that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought." And there's one thing that you've wrought, one thing that you've gained since you've been born again besides salvation, and that's peace. That's peace. If there's one place you ought to be able to get away from everything of this world and come to, it ought to be here, and there ought to be peace at the house of God. I'd hate to know I worked 6 days, 5 days, how many days I worked, in turmoil, in the world, and all the chaos, and then come to the house of God, and it was the same way. That'd be sad. But he says that there's peace at the house of God. Isaiah 26, 3, the Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee." I want to give you three areas that peace comes from in your life. If you say, "Preacher, I need peace." One, you have peace because you focus on the Lord. You're focusing on the Lord and what he's going to do. Number two, you're feeding on the Word. Not only do you focus on the Lord, but you're feeding on his Word. And he's first in your life. He is first in your life. When you examine that self, you say, "Lord God, you're first in my life. Whatever needs to be done, whatever needs to go on, you're first in my life. I'm putting you first. I'm feeding on your word. I'm focused on you and what you would have me to do. I'm examining myself." Before I examine my brother, you know, I can find a fault in Brother Jake forever, find a fault in myself. I mean, it's easier to see out there than it is in here. It's easier to see out there. And I believe so many times at a local body, if we're not careful, we'll get to that place where we'll examine somebody else before we examine ourselves. But he says here, he says, "I want you to look to yourself. Make sure I'm showing love. Make sure I got a clear conscience with everybody in this building. Make sure that when they come in, I've got peace. I've got love. I'm telling the truth and doing what I'm supposed to be doing." You say, preacher, is it that important? I want you to turn with me in closing to Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165. And I want to share this with you tonight. Psalm 119, 165 tonight. Psalm 119, 165. If we're not careful, if we don't examine ourselves daily, we'll come in and the sermons, the songs, the spirit won't have much of a move on us. D.L. Moody said this, said the same sun that melts the ice is the same sun that hardens the clay. The same sun that you got ice and it melts it, and it melts it to its weakest form, and is the same sun that'll harden that clay. And you and I, we must examine ourselves on a daily basis and be truthful with ourselves. That we're walking in the truth. That we're not deceiving nobody. We're walking in the truth. Man, we're walking, examining to the best of our ability, walking the way that God would have us to walk. Examining that truth, making sure we're staying, making sure we got a clear conscience. You ever had something on your conscience you had to get it off of it? I mean, you just had to tell somebody something. You had to go talk to them. You had to get it right. Until that place gets in our life right where it needs to be, our conscience will not be clear. But once we get to that place and we receive that and we have that clear conscience, we can walk on. I've said this Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. My conscience ain't only with God, but it's with man. Have you ever known that you hurt somebody's feeling or you said something you shouldn't have said and you went home and you chewed on it? And then eventually, if you just keep on chewing, you can override that. And you can forget all about it. But maybe that person don't forget about it. So tonight, what we want to do, we want to examine ourselves and live in perfect peace to the best of our ability tonight. In Psalm 119 tonight, I want to show you this. In verse number 165 tonight, I want to show you this. It says this, great peace have they which love thy law. What are you talking about, love the law? Loves the word, lives by it, examines themselves by the word. Whatever needs to be fixed, they allow the Holy Spirit to fix it. They get in line with God, and they keep rocking. My prayer is this. Me and Sister Frances was talking earlier about, did we have any 90-year-olds in the church? And I told her, I said, well, we ain't got very many 90-year-olds, but we got several that look 90, aggravating her. And I pointed at Brother Jerry Gabby. We got a lot of 80-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 50s and 40s. You know, like our 80s that's in the church, the ones that's in their 80s, they're not still here because of how faithful they are. They're still here because they've examined themselves and they know how faithful God is. I don't know about you, but I want to be an old Christian one day. You know what I mean? I want to be one of them old Christians that walk into church, barely can't get in, and all the kids just have a fit over it, you know? Okay, maybe y'all don't know. That's what I want to be. Get old in this. I don't want to die young in this. I want to die old in this. I want to teach people that, hey, you can be a Christian for 60 years and ain't nothing old about it, ain't nothing boring about it, but it's new. We walk in that truth. You examine yourself daily and let God fix what's on the inside. He says, this great peace have they which love thy law and nothing. If we examine ourselves every day of our life, there's nothing will offend you. That's what he says. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. I wrote this down. Are you and I walking in the truth with a clear conscience, loving one another and at peace? If not, let the Lord help you up. We're not going to have altar call. We're going to pray, but I want to share this with you. You said, preacher, that's hard to do. That's hard to examine and stay walking all the time. I'm going to tell you how the Lord has allowed me and helped me in my walk. I can read the Bible sometimes and still have a hard heart. I can read the Bible sometimes and still be negative. I can just, my prayer life, anything. But there's one thing that trumps every bit of it, and that's Jesus. If I got something going on and I feel like the devil's riding me and I can't get it off me, here's what I say. I say, I rebuke him in the name of, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. If I have something, get behind, you will not know. You can't pray enough to get him off of you. Did you know that? You won't pray enough to get Satan off of you. He won't read your Bible enough to get him off of you. The only thing to get him off of your back is the name of Jesus. Read the book of Jude. When they was disputing over the body of Moses, you know what it did? It said the angel did not bring an accusation against. He rebuked him in the name of Jesus. Tonight, this church, I believe as strong as we are, is because the name of Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross of Calvary. We examine ourselves every day to be more like him. To walk in the truth, have a clear conscience. Amen? Just have that conscience clear. Let him lead us. Let him do what he wants to do in our life. And I promise you this. Your walk, during the week, whatever you do, it'll get to the place where you'll have peace. A peace that passes all understanding. I used to hate to go to work when I used to have to go to work, clock a card every single morning. I'd get up and I'd hate it from the time I got up to the time I got back home. But after I found that peace in Christ Jesus, it didn't bother me that bad to get up and go. Because I realized something. When I get up every morning, that's not my air. That's his. That's his air that I'm breathing. And that day, he's got something for me to do. And he's got something for you to do. And I pray this week that whatever's going on in your life, you just examine it, let God fix it, and let everything go according to his will. Amen? Let's gather around this building tonight.